High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Of course, the big story in Israel at the moment is the fact that the ceasefire is ostensibly over, and Israel is launching a series of attacks on what appears to be Hamas areas of Gaza. The question, of course, is where does this go from here? What political fallout and ramifications are there? We are joined this morning by Olivia Rafovich. He's a reserve colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces. He's a former foreign media spokesperson and military expert for I-24. Olivia Rafovich, good morning. Thank you for joining us again. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning to you. I'm okay. Thank you.
Bring us up to date with what is happening in terms of these attacks on Gaza.
Actually, a day ago, during the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, Israeli time, Israeli Air Force carried out a very serious strike against Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorist groups within the Gaza Strip. The reason is that, first of all, we knew that Hamas was planning a major attack, terrorist attack against Israeli targets, civilian and military. So we had to prevent it. And so it was like a preemptive strike against terrorist intention. And secondly, since the end of the first phase of the ceasefire, no stages at all were released by Hamas. And they were actually playing with the families, playing with the Israeli government, playing in order not to release anyone. So the Israeli government decided to change the rules of the game. And actually, I would say that the rules of the game have changed.
So in what sense have the rules changed? What happens in what? Well, we can see that there was no warnings. Normally, Israel would drop leaflets and tell people to evacuate. That's clearly not happening.
No, there was no warning because it was a surprise strike. That was the reason we wanted to eliminate specific Hamas and Islamic Jihad senior members. Actually, hundreds of Hamas operatives have been killed during this operation. And the goal was not to attack the Gaza Strip, but the goal was to attack and to eliminate operatives among Hamas and Islamic Jihad groups. But the rules of the game have changed, because until now, Hamas thought that he has the initiative of the moves. He has the initiative to say yes, to say no, to say maybe. And we were actually in the situation that we are waiting what Hamas will decide. And it was actually unacceptable, because in spite of all the mediators' attempts and the negotiation process, nothing was moving. And Hamas actually understood in his mind that to keep the hostages and not to release them, it's a guarantee for Hamas to continue to be. And also, I would like to say that Hamas was using the ceasefire time to reinforce itself and to prepare new attacks. I want to remind you, Howard, that many times Hamas leaders say that we want to repeat what happened on the 7th of October. Yes. And this time, we did what we did, and Hamas understood that Israel is not playing anymore according to the rules of the game that I just said, decided by Hamas.
There seems to be a little bit more confidence in how Israel is responding now or acting now. The way in which it was done before perhaps was maybe a bit more tentative. They explained more, as I said, the leaflets, the please move out of that area. Are we seeing... two questions. Are we seeing a difference in confidence levels? And secondly, is it partly due to the unequivocal support that Israel has from the new Trump administration?
First of all, as you understand, the Americans now are fighting terrorism. They are now in a campaign against the Houthis in Yemen with the Brits against Houthi targets supported again by Iran. Of course, it is very important to mention the American support, political, diplomatical, and of course military support. But in this specific strike against Hamas, there was no American involvement at all. But I wouldn't say that it is a change of confidence. I would say that it is a change because so many days we are waiting for the release of the hostages, and we cannot continue to accept this situation, this unacceptable, this unbearing situation, where 59 hostages, 24 alive, and the others dead, are still kept by Hamas. Like Hamas is actually not only the one who perpetrated the worst massacre in Israel, but also the one who is deciding what to do according to their own interests with the hostages. This thing is over. This matter is over for the Israelis, even if it is difficult sometimes to explain, because within Israel, and you know it very well, Howard, within Israel, the hostages issue is so sensitive that people are, of course, concerned that such a strike, such a renewal of the war situation with Hamas could actually attend to the life of the hostages. So it's a huge, terrible, I would say, tragic decision. Dilemma. And, of course, decision. But for the Israeli interest, on the short, middle, and long term, but also for the interest of releasing the hostages, we see that if you don't use, I would say, a cynical power, nothing is moving on. Nothing.
Well,
is
the fact
on.
Is that so it Hamas hadn't. I mean, the peace agreement, it actually had ended, and for weeks there's been no movement and no. There's been peace, which is what. Well, there's been a ceasefire. There's been no peace. There's a ceasefire, which is what Hamas wanted in order to rearm, and regroup. But there have been no releases of any hostages. So the fact is that it might be increasing the risk, but every day that Hamas wasn't releasing them was increasing their risk anyway, surely.
And also, and let's not forget that they killed cold blood babies and kids and women. And at the time they killed and they assassinated Kfir and Ariel Bibas, zichronam livracha, there were no specific Israeli strike against them. So they killed them like they kill other hostages, like they tortured all the other hostages, because it is their policy, because it is their intention. So if now they say, we'll do it because you actually carried out a strike, will be actually, again, a psychological warfare using the hostages. But we cannot continue to let them do what they want to do, using the lives of the hostages as a weapon, as ammunition.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. Olivia Rafovich, thank you as always. Reserve a colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces in the IDF, former foreign media spokesperson and military expert for I-24 News. It's gone 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.